Hey, folks. Back here on True Threats, your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got David Hawkins and Captain Phil McConnell as our guest. Captain McConnell, I wanted to ask you another thing, too. What about the horrible response, or should I say lack of response? I mean, isn't that also an absolute impossibility, especially where they were actually conducting terror drills that morning? They had extra planes on alert. How is it that, never mind Flight 77, that's obviously ridiculous how there was no response, but even the two planes that hit the towers, there was plenty of time.
Yeah, and are you talking about the failure of NORAD to intercept the airliners?
Yeah, I mean, it's a half-hour ride from Boston to New York.
Yeah,
and it takes, what, 5 minutes for an intercept?
It depends. Those airplanes are capable of going Mach 2. And so just to keep this simple, because I'm sort of a simple person, Mach 2 means 20 miles a minute. If they were going the F-16s, and I'm talking about Mach 2 with the F-15s that came out of Otis Air National Guard Base on Cape Cod, the F-16s, there were four North Dakota Air National Guard F-16s in the air, but a lot of people think there were only three. However, the F-16 could certainly go Mach 1.5 or 1.6 the way they were configured. Once again, that would be about 15 miles a minute. The timeline, and the one that I have the most expertise on would be the F-16s out of Langley, because that's the Air National Guard unit that I used to fly with. But from the time they scrambled to the time they would have been on scene in the Shanksville area, there was actually about 3 minutes of slop there. And it takes for a pilot in an F-16 or an F-15 to engage a transport category airplane, it's simpler than riding your bicycle to your mailbox. And I'm not trying to understate how easy it is. It is absolutely simple. The technology is so good, the radar will find the target for you. And the way the sequence would work is they would get their scramble orders on the ground. The pilots would hop in the airplane. The tower, whether it's at Langley Air Force Base or Otis Air National Guard Base, would give them a brief instruction regarding azimuth, altitude, and speed. And that would either be spoken in plain English or in military jargon. But it doesn't matter because the pilots speak both, English and jargon. And it's really a very simple procedure to be scrambled off in an airplane and go out and intercept the target. And the problem on 9/11, as I understand it, and I think I have a fairly good grip on it, is the control that was given to these fighters was intentionally away from the targets. For instance, the three F-16s that scrambled off Langley, and by the way, I knew on 9/12 when I read that three F-16s scrambled that something was up, because you never, ever scramble more than two because there's only two airplanes on alert. But that's getting sort of heavy on the details, so we'll just fast-forward this. When these airplanes scrambled off Langley, the three F-16s, two things that I find very odd. They were all vectored east, and Washington, D.C. is north of Langley, not east. The only thing east of Langley is the ocean, which is, by the way, where American 77 and two of the other flights ended up. When they were vectored to the east, these three F-16s were also split off onto separate frequencies. And maybe you're familiar with the term BS flag. Have you ever heard that term, Charles?
No.
Okay, BS might stand for the excrement of a male bovine.
Oh, as in BS. I thought it was another technical term.
No. It's the BS flag. And that's what pilots, when pilots are fed absolute wrong information, the way we as pilots talk is, you either say that's BS or I'm throwing the BS flag. And what I would have done had I been a member of that flight on 9/11, when they tried to turn us east, or they tried to split us up, I would have thrown the BS flag, and I would have declared an emergency and taken control of the flight. And I wouldn't give a rip who that offended. If a pilot knows that the threat is north, the pilot should never, ever go anywhere but north and go as fast as possible. Because it's always academically possible to have disinformation or intentionally corrupt control. And that's exactly... I see we have a break coming.
Yeah, my goodness, they come fast. Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Captain Field McConnell and David Hawkins on the line. I think we're all set on the commercial breaks for a little while. you know, here's another problem. How in the world are we supposed to believe that these guys were master planner hijackers, as we've been told? When they hijack planes up in Boston, their targets are way down in New York, at least a half hour away, allowing plenty of time for an intercept. Surely they must have known that they could not have pulled this off successfully, and yet here it is, they did. I mean, no matter how you look at this story, it's filled with holes.
Sure. Yes, it is. I'd like to go ahead, David.
Thank you, Charles. Well, on the 1st of June 2001, there was a war game that actually, the way it was structured, answers your questions, Charles. Because on the 1st of June, Vice Admiral S.A. Fry, who was the director of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, changed the rules of engagement and introduced a contrived delay that Field and I think probably would add about an hour to the normal ability of a interceptor to be scrambled to take a plane or at least monitor a plane that was behaving in a bizarre fashion. Apparently, they could scramble and they could be within 5 minutes, they could have visual contact with the plane that was behaving in an erratic way. What S.A. Fry did, I believe, with a conspiracy with people inside the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he changed the rules of engagement so that the alert had to go from the air traffic controller to the supervisor to Herndon, Virginia, which is where the Federal Aviation Administration headquarters are. And the rules of engagement there allowed the administrator, which we believe was Jane Garvey, to determine whether or not the alert warranted calling up the National Military Command Center and the Pentagon. That chain of command would then go through Secretary of Defense, a request to NORAD, did they have anything in the area, and then NORAD might or might not have something in the area to intercept the plane. That added an hour. Now, during those war games, what we discovered is, and the name of the war game was Amalgam Virgo, the Canadian government, through a general by the name of Maurice Barril, engineered a Blue Air stand-down of the United States Air Force to test this remote flying technology coming from a company near where I live by the name of McDonnell Detweiler and Associates. So the American Air Force would stood down for a period of about 24 to 30 hours while the air traffic controllers of the Federal Aviation Administration and the United States Air Force base commanders believed they had control of a hijacked decoy through this remote flying technology. So on the 1st of June 2001, they changed the rules of engagement and set the Americans up for a trap into thinking that they could control a physically hijacked plane by taking control away from the cockpit through the autopilot and using the QRS-11 gyroscope land the plane safely. So on 9/11, this was what happened on the 1st of June 2001, I believe, was a live fly dress rehearsal where the Americans on the morning of 9/11 believed it was going to be more or less a repeat of what happened on the 1st and 2nd of June 2001 during the Amalgam Virgo war game,
right.
Not realizing that the red team could jam the controls from the United States Air Force and more particularly from Captain Gerald DeConto at the U.S. Naval Command Center in the Pentagon. So towards the end of that war game, when, if I understand field correctly, the normal instruction from the red team commander, if the red team wins, is knock it off. The Canadians realized the Americans were particularly vulnerable because normally when the knock-off command is given, everyone stands down, goes home and has a few beers and the debriefing session. So we think that Captain Gerald DeConto in the U.S. Naval Command Center in the Pentagon heard the command knock it off. He knew something was going on in New York, but he didn't know exactly what. He relaxed, and then, to his horror, saw that the radar blip suddenly divided. Flight 77 decoy, we think, went out over the Atlantic. The drone behind it started to execute this maneuver that Field has described so well. And Captain Gerald DeConto got on the phone to the Secretary of the Navy, whose name, I believe, was Gordon England, asking his permission, I believe, to release the weapons and take out this drone that was heading towards him. He didn't have enough time. But the drone came through the window behind which Captain Gerald DeConto, duty officer, was on the phone to the Secretary of the Navy. So that is a piece of precision flying that can only be done by the missile gyroscopes of the type that Boeing illegally installed on over 120 aircraft and shipped off to China during the period of 1999 to 2002. So what we have, I think, once we've excluded the impossible, the Muslims could not fly a plane like that. It could only be flown by a triaxial gyroscope. Those triaxial gyroscopes are configured by the French company Thales in a partnership with Raytheon. A director of Raytheon during 9/11 was the former disgraced director of the CIA, John Deutsch, who on the morning of 9/11 was a director of Raytheon and a director of Citigroup that had a whole bunch of evidence destroyed at the top of building number 7 in the World Trade Center. So we can thrash around as much as we like looking at what our friend Osama bin Laden was doing in a cave in Afghanistan. But here you have a guy, a fired director of the CIA, who treasonously stole 17,000 pages of CIA information, took them to his home computer, piped them off as far as we know to Russia and China, was fired. He was pardoned by Clinton in January the 26th, 2001. He's a professor of molecular thermodynamics and chemistry at MIT, and he is an expert in the same kind of technology as I am. He knows how to dissolve evidence by hitting it with a pressure or a shock wave from solid propellant rocket fuel. So suspect number one for Field and I, technically, is John Deutsch.
Do you the C-130 that was closely following behind so-called Flight 77 as having played a role in, you know, in steering the plane, or do you think it was done from elsewhere?
That could be an unseen commander, but Field could mention the Bombardier CL-604s, if you will, Field.
Yeah, yes, Field. I will. And let me just suggest to you the possibility that these people that perpetrated 9/11 had multiple layers of redundancy, always. So if one thing didn't work, they would go to number two. And I'll address your C-130 and the Canadair jet here in just a split second. But
you know what, even before that, if I could just ask you quick, what are the chances that, you know, a 757 coming in like that, aside from all the other impossibilities, hitting a light post and not having a wing knocked off or something, is that a possibility?
You know, I really can't address that. That would be a better question for David, but I believe that there's no problem flying a transport airplane through light posts, because the light posts are simply made to hold up a light bulb and some surrounding glass, and they're typically made out of aluminum.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the leading edge of a wing on a transport category airplane is very strong, because in the case of a 757, it's got to have the strength to support close to 300,000 pounds of weight. And
the fuel.
Having said that, I know from other aviation incidences that you can, and I'll give you a good example, is a Convair 580 hit a guy wire on a radio tower in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, about 30 years ago, and they were very fortunate that they hit this wire with the spinner of the propeller, because that was the most armored portion of the leading edge of the wing of a Convair 580. Had it hit the leading edge of the wing, it's possible that it would have sliced right through the wing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also possible it would have brought the tower down. And what we need to do is, try to focus on what's impossible and rule that out. And then once we rule out the impossible, which we've ruled out the 757 as the delivery vehicle, then it opens the door. Well, if it's impossible that a human, a low time, and by the way, David has mentioned Muslims, and you, Charles, mentioned monkeys, and we sort of get into dangerous territory there, because it sounds like any one of us might be disrespectful of these Muslims, and I'm not disrespectful.
Oh, I don't believe there are any Muslims at all in the plane.
Oh, whether there were or not, it doesn't matter. They would have been unconscious and electronically hijacked, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
But the C-130 you allude to, there was also a second C-130. It could have been the same airplane witnessed over the Shanksville area. But I believe that the on-scene commanders... and if you want to see what the on-scene commander airplane looks like, there's some rare footage available, and we can steer you towards that. Maybe you've seen the small white jet that appears behind the object that hits the second tower. Have you seen that with your...
Yeah, very mysterious. Yeah,
yeah, and a lot of people say that that was a... I've heard all sorts of things. 767, you know, large wide-body Airbus out there in the traffic pattern somewhere else, but the telemetry... suggest to me that it was a CL-604, which is a Bombardier jet. It was all white. There was no markings on it. And the purpose of that Bombardier business jet, which was owned by the military up in Canada, or the purpose of the C-130s, if you will, could have been just on-scene commanders that are they're visual observers with human eyeballs to make sure things go as planned. And the actual control of the droned flying vehicles could have been handled from a lot of different places, one of which, or two of which, would be NATO AWACS sitting off the coast of the U.S. And even that, I've had some people that are fairly well immersed in this academically remind me that even though it might be a NATO AWACS, that does not mean it could not be a U.S. crew. Personally, being a U.S. Citizen and a 26-year veteran of the military, I would rule out a U.S. crew in a NATO AWACS. That just seems a little bit odd to me. But that doesn't mean it's impossible or it didn't happen. But I believe that the control of the droned flying vehicles, whether you want to think it's an A-3 in the case of the Pentagon or E-10s in the case of the Trade Centers, Towers 1 and 2, it most likely was controlled by an AWACS. That's my opinion.
Yep.
And a visual observer would make sure that everything was working well.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, folks, stick with us. Another break. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Hey, we're back on Truth Hurts. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Captain Phil McConnell, David Hawkins, talking with us about very strange events around 9/11. What do you guys think about Building 7 having possibly been the command and control center, housing the the management of the downing of the towers and the steering of the planes? Of course, it did have that bomb shelter conveniently built in there.
Shall I take that, Phil?
Yes, please do.
Thanks, Charles. Very interesting. In October of 2000, and this led to my ejection by Jim Fetzer from Scholars for 9-1 Truth, the mortgage on building number 7 was sold by the TIAA-CREF. That's the Teachers Insurance Annuity Association, College Retirement Equity Fund. It's the largest private pension fund in the world. It actually pays the pension of Jim Fetzer and his colleagues. They sold the mortgage on building number 7 to the Blackstone Private Equity Group. And the co-chairman of the Blackstone Private Equity Group at that time, still is, and the founder, is a man by the name of Peter Peterson, who also happens to be the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. And during the period of October 2000 and September the 11th, 2001, Blackstone doubled the insurance on that building from somewhere around $400 million to $830 million. So the only people who had the power, at least the financial power, to authorize the demolition of that building, it wasn't Larry Silverstein, who was the borrower, if you will, of a small percentage of that mortgage. It was the controller or the private equity group, Blackstone, who owned the mortgage and the insurance company. And this leads me to the point that I'd mentioned earlier. The way international racketeering influenced and corrupt organizations launder money, or their preferred way, is to lend the dirty money to a borrower and then sabotage the borrower and collect the insurance so it looks like clean money. So this was a classic extortion, I believe, by the private equity groups behind Blackstone and the Council on Foreign Relations. They either forced or bribed or persuaded Rudy Giuliani to put the Mayor's Office of Emergency Management on the 22nd floor of the building, where quite obviously it was in the line of fire. But on the morning of 9/11, they were actually staging what is called a sabotage vulnerability testing. And they were experimenting with whether or not New York City could survive an attack on the World Trade Center. Now, if you see the absurdity of that, of course, what they can do is they can monitor the readiness of the defense team to such an attack and determine whether they're vulnerable to switching a simulated attack to a real one, where if they succeed in knocking the buildings down, they can collect a double insurance scam.
Right.
So actually, Rudy Giuliani, and he is a defendant in Hort's Cafe versus the Global Guardians, I believe, wittingly or unwittingly, and certainly whether he's unwitting is immaterial because we're talking about a wrongful death suit, he allowed the Mayor's Office of Emergency Management to be used for a bogus sabotage vulnerability test by a British company called AMEC. And sure. Charles, do you know where else AMEC was operating on the morning of 9/11?
The Pentagon.
Ah, yes. Yeah, the area that was hit, right?
In building number 7 and 1 and 2, but they also were doing sabotage vulnerability testing at the U.S. Naval Command Center in Wedge 1 of the Pentagon.
How convenient. What,
and they also got the contract. They also got the contract with the organized crime families to take away the evidence from both sides.
Yeah, and that's what happened. There was no investigation. People, most Americans still have failed to recognize what went on there. No investigation.
Right. Now, AMEC was run, it's a British company, out of Canada, by the Carlyle Canada Private Equity Group through a man by the name of Frank McKenna.
Daddy Bush's
company.
Who
was also, Carlyle Canada, remember, it's not Daddy Bush's company. The way these private equity groups, and I'm alleging, is they operate by entrapment. You're invited into a private equity. Basically, they'll say to you, we have an opportunity, an absolute cast-iron opportunity for you to make money. You can go into a private equity group such as Carlyle Canada in innocence. And because they have a network of insiders inside major corporations and government, and incidentally that begs the question about the fraud of insider trading, they can help you position your money so you make a great deal. Now, what they'll normally do is, with someone who's coming in like the former president, POTUS 41, George Bush Sr., is they will lend the sucker, if you will, the target, some money to help them play the markets. So for a while, people like George Bush will make a great deal of money. Then they lose a great deal of money.
Yeah, you don't
but
have to
now,
be privy to what's going on.
But then, of course, you are owned by the people who lent you money, which is exactly where the mob wants you. So what you've got on the morning of 9/11, you've got bogus war games, bogus sabotage vulnerability testing, orchestrated by the Global Guardians, where the great bulk of people were innocent players, if you will. But they got so far into the war game, I think their voices were recorded on the red team attack side, and that would be used against them to blackmail them. Afterwards, when the huge amounts of money were made on insurance, a slug of money went into, for example, the pension funds of the New York City firefighters' officers, who wittingly or unwittingly had sent 342 firefighters to their deaths because the radio system was sabotaged.
Yeah, it's a brilliant scam because, conscience or not, they're forced to keep their mouths shut. Stick with us, folks.
You got it.
Break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Okay, welcome back. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Captain Phil McConnell, David Hawkins. I'm monitoring the Pal Talk chat room here at paltalk.com. We've got a room called 9/11 Was an Inside Job. Pretty much runs 24/7. Anybody who wants to join us, by the way, just go to paltalk.com. You can download the free software. Anyway, I'm monitoring the room, and somebody asked a good question. They were wondering what your ratings were, Captain McConnell, as a pilot.
Okay, are you talking about what level of a license I have?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question because it demonstrates whoever asked it probably doesn't know much about the ratings. If you're asking if I have an airline transport rating, or ATP, airline transport pilot, I do, and one should assume that because if I'm not hung up on my former position of being an airline captain, that never meant much to me. What did mean much to me was discharging my responsibilities in a manner that demonstrated integrity, which is exactly why I retired. However, having said that, the question, if it was a better question, and it may well be, maybe they're wondering what type ratings I had, and if that's their question, which would be a more precise question. I'm type rated on the DC-10, the Airbus A320, the DC-9, and the Convair 580. So I hope I've answered it one way or the other.
Okay. Well, didn't you also earlier, were you an Air Force pilot, I thought I heard?
Well, I went to the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis, and from there I spent 6 years following my Naval Academy graduation in the United States Marine Corps, where I flew A-4s and KC-130s. And I left the Marine Corps because it became apparent to me that I was not going to become the first five-star general in the Marine Corps, and I might languish as a underutilized asset. So if I was going to languish, I'd rather languish as a part-time pilot in the Air National Guard and then seek a full-time position as an airline pilot. And I was very fortunate or blessed to be able to do both. And so for the period between 78 and 93, I had a dual career of flying fighters for the North Dakota Air National Guard, both the F-4 Phantom and the F-16, and also flying a variety of airplanes for North Central Republic and then Northwest Airlines. So that's really a dream job. However, a job is still a job, and a mission is still a mission, and one has to determine if your job is more important than your mission. And my mission, honestly, is I'm really trying as hard as I can with every tool that I possess to make flying as safe as it could be. But there's two recent examples of airline incidences, both outside the U.S., so most of your listeners would not be aware of them. But in Kenya, Africa, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Kenya Flight 507, actually I misspoke, it was in Cameroon where it crashed, but it was en route from Cameroon to Kenya. A Kenya 737 was vaporized, my choice of words. That was about 3 to 4 weeks ago. On the 1st of January of 2007, an Atom Air Flight 574 was vaporized. Once again, my choice of words, not David's necessarily, in Indonesia. And these were both Boeing 737s, which is the model of the Boeing airplane that's most closely related to these QRS-11 gyro chips, which were installed by Boeing and exported to China. And these airplanes disappeared in a fashion very similar to the ultimate fate of United 93, where Captain Jason Dahl allegedly was incapacitated and the Muslims overtook the airplane and then flew it into the dirt. That's impossible. So it's not impossible that Jason Dahl could be overcome. It's impossible that these low-time pilots could have performed the flying maneuvers that were observed by multiple eyewitnesses in Pennsylvania who were effectively silenced by the FBI, who told them that they didn't really see what they really saw, if you follow my drift.
Right. You think they're doing this vaporizing thing just to make the 9/11 look more convincing, too?
Could I just jump in there and talk about
sure.
the MO of the Murder for Hire Network? What they've developed, this is an allegation that will be proved in court or otherwise. What the Global Guardians have done that provide finance to the international aircraft leasing industry is they force borrowers, I believe, and Field, I think, would agree with me, they force the borrowers to modify the planes with the missile gyroscopes and embed incendiaries disguised as insulation behind the cabin doors, so that these planes can be switched through a variety of roles externally through the Boeing-operated Iridium satellite communication. They can be flown as passengers, they can be flown as cargo, they can be flown as combos, I believe they're called. They can be flown as decoys during war games, where you simulate the trajectory of the plane so it looks like there's a low-time pilot who's actually inside the cockpit who's hijacked it. Or you can fly the plane as a missile using the triaxial pitch, roll, and yaw gyroscope that is configured by Thales and installed on these Boeing 737s. And at an opportune moment, particularly if you want to work that double insurance or catastrophe bond insurance scam, when it's remote or sufficiently distant from emergency responders, so there's no direct eyewitnesses to the assassination, you, so to speak, light the blue touch paper and stand clear. An ignition signal is sent through the Iridium satellite communication system. The ignition source near the flight box of the plane in the cockpit then triggers a high-temperature, high-pressure shockwave that moves down the fuselage at around 5 times the speed of sound and probably at a temperature of 5,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And that literally blasts the entrained water in human bodies into superheated steam, or vaporizes it or carbonizes it. So now if you take the plane that disappeared in Indonesia, that was bringing, I believe, predominantly Christian passengers back to the island of Sulawesi. And the classical technique is it would appear that some fisher people saw some explosions, but it was really close to the ground or the sea, so they couldn't make out what it was. But the emergency crews are then sent in the wrong direction, Charles. Because the idea is that the reaction temperature, which is 5,800 degrees, the perpetrators of the insurance scam want the maximum amount of time to vaporize or carbonize or incinerate the evidence. So when the people eventually found it 2 days later in Indonesia, it turns out that it had been vaporized, and I agree with Field, over water 6,000 feet deep, and the flight boxes, or what survived of the flight boxes, went down to the ocean floor, extremely difficult to retrieve, and the Canadian Navy sent retrieval people to get hold of that flight box, because the flight box has the real story, if you will.
Yeah, the evidence.
Right, so they have to either destroy the flight box or hide the flight box or reprogram the flight box, because that would otherwise tell the experts what the trajectory of this plane was before it was vaporized. Now, going over to the Kenya Airlines, and remember, we're talking here about racketeering and extortion of the international airline industry. I believe if the directors refuse to kowtow to this carbon credit scam that Al Gore is promoting, they're threatened that they're going to lose an asset, a hull, passengers, crew, and pilots. And in the particular case of Kenya Airlines, it was leaving Douala. The plane left the end of the runway, and about between 3 and 10 minutes beyond, it apparently crashed in the runway in a mangrove swamp or a very dense canopy. And again, the emergency crews were sent 180 miles away from the crash, and they did not arrive on the scene till 2 days later. And then the head of the emergency response team, and I've worked in emergency response, said he had a bunch of trouble with his team members because they were very frightened. They would pick up the blackened bodies, and the blackened bodies turned to dust.
Wow.
Meaning they were carbonized.
Do you know? Yeah, oh yeah. Intense heat, obviously. Do you know anything about the Senator Wellstone plane crash? Either of you guys?
I do. No, I don't know. Let me handle that one, David.
Sure, yeah.
I happen to live in Minnesota, as you may or may not know, Charles, and that happened not too far from where I live, say 100 miles roughly. But there's a lot of concern about what happened to Paul Wellstone, but one of the things that happened to him was, and I'm not political. However, he is characterized as being extremely liberal, and the demographics of his flight crew that day, the people flying his airplane, was a prescription for disaster. And I think his liberal tendencies sort of bit him on that day. The person flying in the left seat of that airplane, which I believe was a King Air, and you may correct me if it was something else, but it was a turbine-powered, two-engine, small transport category aircraft, and they were going up to Bemidji or Hibbing, that area of Minnesota, and they did not end up at the airport. They crashed when one of the engines allegedly lost power or a wing stalled due to icing. And these details don't really matter because flying an airplane is not supposed to be difficult, but his crew on that day consisted of a 52-year-old male nurse who had been an airline pilot briefly for, I believe it was either American or one of the American subsidiary commuter airline operators. But you have a male nurse, and that, I don't want to sound sexist, racist, or anything else, but for real airline pilots, male nurse and flying airplanes is a contradiction. So, and also this guy's record flying elsewhere, and I believe it was an American commuter, he left that employment not in a volunteer fashion, I believe. So he ends up getting a flying job in Minnesota that complemented his male nurse duties, but unfortunately, on the day of the crash that killed Senator Wellstone, this male nurse had worked a full shift as a nurse, and then he went out and flew this airplane and killed people. And the co-pilot on that day in history, and once again, I'm not racist, sexist, or political, but the individual who was the co-pilot was a very low-time pilot who had been fired from Northwest Airlines because he could.
So you don't suspect anything suspicious. The reason I brought that up is because I heard that the remains of the plane were intensely hot and were very difficult. They had a difficult time. They had to keep hosing it down. You know, it almost seemed like the same type of thing you were describing. You know, the vaporization.
It may well have been, and I've heard that angle brought up before. And he certainly had political enemies. And
oh yeah.
But Senator Wellstone was not one who would back down from a fight. Whether he's on the right side or the wrong side, he simply was rather impassioned, and he would fight to the death, and apparently that's exactly what ultimately happened. Whether it was a pure accident, because it's scientifically quite possible that his airplane iced up, and that, in fact, specifically, I happen to be fairly close to this, because the safety inspector from Northwest Airlines that went up to the scene was a guy who was my age, my background, and my seniority, and he went as a benevolent employee and management official of Northwest Airlines up to lend some support in the investigation of what happened, and he told me out of his own mouth that it appeared that one wing had iced up, okay? Now, what that would do is change the shape of the wing and also the weight of the wing, and both negatives, because it would make the wing less efficient due to the shape of the leading edge of the wing that now has ice where there should be no ice. But it also adds weight. So it makes the airplane imbalanced. And airplanes need to be...
It's possible it could have just been an accident.
It could have been a pure accident. Or another thing that I would suggest to you as an academic possibility is that airplane could have been intentionally disabled one of the... one wing of the anti-icing.
My guess would lean more in that direction because, like you said, I mean, he was opposed to the Patriot. I mean, to the Homeland Security Act, the Iraq War coming up, and
Well, keep in mind this: the incident involving Senator Wellstone is not that different from the incident that befell John F. Kennedy Jr.
Mm. Yeah.
So, airplanes are weapons, and they have been for 30 years.
Sure. You know, time is really running away on us. I wanted to ask you guys real quick what you thought about, surface-to-air missile defense in Washington. Where was that system? Obviously, we have such a system, have since the Cold War, all during the Cold War. Where was that on 9/11?
Well, it was stood down. You see, coming back to this war game that was being, this bogus war game, the script for the war game was written in Ottawa in Canada. We believe by a company called Lansdowne Technologies, and it was set up with the idea that the Americans were going to be sold a system that would allow them to electronically hijack a plane. So instead of shooting down a passenger plane and killing all the passengers, or allowing the hijackers to crash the plane into the building and killing all the passengers, the controls over the plane would be taken either by a combat support aircraft or an emergency ground operating center through the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, the problem on the morning of 9/11 was the United States Air Force had stood down because they were testing whether or not this technology would work. It was Canadian technology. Unbeknown to them, the Canadians were able to jam the command to the defense systems, including the radar systems. For example, not many people know that the voice-operated, voice-over internet protocol systems inside the Pentagon were supplied by Nortel, and Nortel was then in the custody of Carlisle Canada, Frank Carlucci, and Lyndon Wilson. So on the morning of 9/11, they knocked out the wire and wireless communication systems in the Pentagon, and control over the Pentagon communications with U.S. naval assets abroad was transferred to Nortel, which transferred it to NATO in Europe. So you lost, America lost, I say you, I'm sitting here in Canada. I'm absolutely amazed. The American people lost the chain of command between your president and U.S. naval assets around the world. And no one is talking about what happened to that chain of command when it was transferred out of America to NATO.
And David, tell them where the Air Force control was.
You mean in Gatineau, Quebec?
I'm talking about who was in control of the NORAD, the air defense community on 9/11.
Oh, right. So Maurice Barrille, and let me, I just remind you, or the listeners, of who Maurice Barrille was. Maurice Barrille was the Canadian commander of the war game Global Guardian on 9/11. The American commander, who should have been mobilizing the defense team, was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Henry Shelton, who they'd put on a plane to Europe. So they'd cut out the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and in his place, the red team, that is the Canadian team, had inserted a Canadian officer inside Cheyenne Mountain to represent the blue team defenses. That man's name was Major General Rick Findlay. Instead of firing the sucker, right, after 9/11 because he stood down the American Air Force, he has been promoted. He is now the chairman of the binational planning group between Canada and the United States, getting ready for kicking
promotions.
In the Patriot Act.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So he's been promoted. So you had Canadians inside your blue team defenses. The chairman of your Joint Chiefs of Staff was on a plane to Europe. Basically, the Canadians took you apart on 9/11.
Yep, far from disciplinary actions, these people are getting raises, promotions. It's absolutely disgusting. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back, folks, to Truth Hurts Radio. Got, my goodness, just a few more minutes left here with Captain Phil McConnell and David Hawkins. I tell you, I'm going to have you guys back on, no question. We haven't even scratched the surface. There's so much to talk about here. In fact, probably have you guys on individually so we can really focus narrowly in on the various areas where you guys have your expertise in. I know, Dave, you could go on endlessly just talking about the profiteering, and I'm sure, Captain McConnell, you got a lot more to say about, the impossibility of the logistics of this thing. What were you going to say?
Charles, sorry.
Yeah.
Charles, could I just talk about something where our expertise comes together, which is the lean, a maritime lean that we propose applying to all the gyroscopes illegally installed by Boeing on its planes. Would that be useful?
Yeah.
Okay. We know from the fine paid by Boeing and the admission of the director, Bain, that they installed between 100 and 120 triaxial missile gyroscopes on Boeing 737s and flight boxes shipped off to China. I believe that process is continuing and accelerating, and I would estimate there are now 1,000 to 2,000 weaponized Boeing passenger aircraft flying around the world where the private equity group behind the aircraft lease financing industry is able to identify a high-value target, whether that's a passenger or someone on the ground that could be hit and killed by a plane. And they can fly those planes as precision-guided missiles, detonate or ignite the incendiaries that have been embedded in the cabin, and vaporize the evidence and collect insurance, which is then used to pay the assassins and saboteurs. So effectively, what the world is facing right now is a racketeering group that we can call the Global Guardians. That's the name that they gave themselves. And we think there's quite a simple remedy, and it won't be just Field McConnell and myself that file those liens. Everyone, including you, Charles, are entitled to file a lien against something that, for example, you can argue threatens your very survival. So you may not get into Boeing aircraft, but most people do, and certainly as you go up the ranks in the industry or in government, or you're going to be flying around in these planes, if you represent a threat to these people, they can take you out. They can vaporize the evidence, and they can collect life insurance on your death and pay off your assassins. So let's lean the instrument, and this is the key weapon. It's almost more important than the explosives, because you can crash a plane and kill someone. You don't necessarily have to vaporize the evidence. But let's lean the QRS-11 missile gyroscopes illegally installed by Boeing, whether or not voluntarily or extorted by these aircraft leasing companies. Let's lean them wherever they find and ground the fleet.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Well, it sounds possible. I'd just like my last contribution to this conversation, Charles, would be that I think Americans need to consider the possibility that rather than Muslims attacking the U.S. on 9/11, it was actually Quebec and the Francophonie, which is the French-speaking world, which has always had a problem with the Anglophile world. So our weapons might be better pointed north than east.
Yeah, it appears that quite a few people were profiteering from this. There's a lot of money being shifted around. I mentioned before on the show here that I worked for a brokerage company, and I was noticing people calling in all disgusted. They were losing huge amounts of money. They were just plain stealing from people's pension funds and investment funds and using 9/11 as the excuse.
Yeah, and that's all it is an excuse.
Grand theft.
Yeah. It's a cat bone fraud.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to thank both of you guys for coming on. This was great. Definitely going to have you guys on again sometime go over some more of these details. There's just so much to talk about. Unfortunately, we've run out of time here. But anyway, guys, check out the websites like we mentioned earlier. I think that's some great info. And have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.